Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
In the words of great philosopher Ice Cube, today was a good day. Brewers win 2-1 over the Diamondbacks. Cubs lose, so the magic number improves to 5. But wait, it gets better. Both the Dodgers and the Phillies lose, so the Brewers are 2 games back of the 2 seed in record. Mind you, they do not have the tiebreaker on the Dodgers. And they're 3 games back of the 1 seed, which is currently held by the Phillies. And oh, by the way, they meet coming up Monday through Wednesday. Get your tickets now. Welcome in. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. That's exactly how you draw it up. Jerry Augustine joining us here on the show. I mean, you win a close game, and we'll talk about some of the warts on this one, too. You win a close game, you got good news out on the East Coast, and you're feeling like you're back in this race now after a 3-1 start to a tough West Coast road trip. I think this has been a stretch where win tonight has really shown up here the last few nights for the crew, using McGill and Devin in 3 of the last 4, all of them wins, of course, showing off its roses for the Brewers to come out on top in yet another one-run game dominated by the Brewers' pen.
Yeah, you're kind of seeing what this ball club, how they're forming themselves for the postseason play, and team with this bullpen. Yes, you have McGill and Williams at the in the back, but it's the guys in front of them. This bullpen is so deep. They have so many great arms. And I tell you, it really is showing off. When you look at lowering their ERA in the last 15 games or 14 games to a 0.46, holding the other team's batting average to about 121. That's a sign that you're throwing the ball very well. And what a great game tonight is. You go back at this game and you think about the turning point of the game, Dom. You have to go all the way back to the first inning when Peralta limited the D-backs to one run. Was changed the whole complexion of the game. From then on, with the big home run from Hoskins, was the difference. But the turning point going back, when you have to go back to that first inning, and him just giving that one run in the first inning really played key in tonight's ballgame.
And now 13 2/3 innings on this road trip from the Brewers' bullpen. They have not allowed an earned run, and this also excludes Jake Bowers pitching as a position player on Tuesday night. So 13 2/3 innings, just 7 hits, 1 unearned run, 5 walks, 19 strikeouts, and Devin a perfect 3-for-3 in saves during this stretch. Now, I imagine Devin will not be available tomorrow because that would be 3 in a row. You would like to have him available against the Phillies, of course, and it comes back to the offense. Rhys Hoskins was the only bit of offense today for the crew. A 2-run home run in the middle portion of this game, that's all they got. This is, to me, with all the traffic that Freddy Peralta pitched through today and the lack of traffic that the Brewers had tonight, this felt like a game you were supposed to lose. And we've talked about games like this past weekend, Augie, against the Rockies, and maybe a game or two in there that the Brewers should have won. Well, here's a game they probably should have lost. It all levels out. It's why we play 162. We'll talk about the offense later, but hey, man, this is what postseason baseball is going to feel like, okay? Offense is going to be at a premium. You're not going to be able to have sustained rallies. And there's two sides of this coin right now. You can complain about the offense not scoring a ton of runs, but on the other side, it's like, wait a minute, they're still winning games without scoring a lot of runs. Imagine when they are hot again with their offense.
Yeah, and you're going to go through those games and you go through series when you're facing the opponent's best pitchers, and some of these opponent pitchers are throwing the ball very well. And I thought Rodriguez threw the ball very well against the Brewers, really kept them off stride really throughout the game. But Rhys Hoskins really did a nice job of hanging in there with 2 strikes on him, got a pitch up and in, and was able to hit the ball at the ballpark. And those things are going to happen. You're going to go through streaks when runs are hard to get. But when you look at what the Brewers, the way they've done it all year long, you look at now they played, 80 games with a difference of 2 runs or less this season. That goes to show you that, number one, you're never out of a game, number one. And number two, that your pitching staff has to be throwing the ball very well. So one thing that does, pitching and defense always keeps you in a ball game, and that's really what has happened with the Brewers of late, scoring so few runs.
That's been the story all season. It's what the Brewers do. It's their MO. They know they can win games with pitching and defense if the offense doesn't show up. But when the offense does show up, man, look out. This text made me chuckle here about, I can't wait for 13 more wins like that in the postseason on the way to a World Series to take years off my life. Yeah, that felt like playoff baseball. And don't feel so comfortable. These Diamondbacks, I mean, they scored, what, 30-something runs over the last few games. They were off yesterday. And they're a lethal offense, and they left a ton out there. And Tobias Myers has to be looking at what he saw today and be like, all right, it's my job for, number one, to give length, because Freddie was only able to complete five innings tonight. And two, the offense has to help out Tobias and say, hey, we got to make sure we give McGill and Devin a day off and try to make this game a little bit easier to manage down the stretch, because we're going to break down the decision in the fifth inning in the next segment, but there's going to be fatigue here down the stretch in this 10-game stretch that they are beginning today. All in a row, Diamondbacks, Phillies, Diamondbacks. All I can say is thank goodness they got off on the right foot.
I agree. I think when you look at this ball club, they're going out, they do things so many special ways. They limit the other opponents from scoring runs. And, you know, there's something called, I love that phrase, earned runs. And earned runs is a something that really denotes a pitcher what his ERA is going to be. But when an opposing team plays such good defense, throws the ball very well, and makes those opponents earn their runs, that's really pretty special. And that's what this Brewer Ball Club does. With the pitching they have, the strong defense they have, the great play by Hoskins in the, I believe it was in the fourth inning, saved a run over there at first base. You play that good, solid defense. You go out there and you do what you're supposed to do. You're going to make the teams earn runs. And it goes to show you when you have, we talked earlier, 80 games with two runs or less shows you that, number one, you're playing good, solid defense and your pitching is doing a great job.
And one last thing here as we move to break. You know, we said all season long, man, just wait till this bullpen is ready. Just wait till this bullpen is ready. As you were getting unsung and unexpected contributors, right? Brian Hudson, unexpected. Jared Koenig, unexpected. To have now Joe Ross in the bullpen. To now have Aaron Ashby unexpectedly in this bullpen. We've been saying all along, just wait till they're healthy. Just wait till they're healthy. Well, now you've got 101 miles an hour in the eighth inning. You've got the airbender in the ninth inning. You've got Yoel Piamps in the sixth inning. And quite frankly, he's been one of the most trusted relievers in the second half for the Brewers, and he's in the sixth inning. I mean, this is what we've been waiting for. And now with 2 weeks to go, it's like, oh my goodness, like, this is what they planned for and what you hope for when Devin came back healthy, that the plan is coming to fruition. Because in my opinion, Augie, in the year 2024, the bullpen is more important than the starter in the postseason. I truly believe that right now. That is how the game has shifted. We have so much information about seeing a starter for the third time. Starters aren't used to it themselves. They're throwing more innings than they've ever thrown before. Same to the bullpen as well. But at the same time, if you've got varied looks, if you've got varied velocities, if you've got varied movements like the Brewers have, it's not a one-trick pony back there. That's how successful bullpens are built, and that's how they go deep into October.
You don't win pennants. You don't get into playoffs unless you have a good bullpen. And if you look at the playoffs and you look at who wins the World Series over the last few years, yeah, there'll be an occasion where a pitcher goes out and has an outstanding game and may go six or seven, or maybe even go a complete game. That does not happen very often. Usually it's the bullpen that makes the difference in how your team play. And I think team plays, and I think you're exactly right. This team has been set up all year long with all the different players, all the different relievers, how they used it and see who is going to fit where, how is this puzzle going to all come together. And now it seems like where we get to the last 16, 15, 16, 17 ball games, now they're starting to set in. We're starting to get an idea of how they're going to be used and the value of each one of these on what they can do. You got a great group of guys up there. You've got balance. And when you've got these two guys with McGill and Williams finishing it, I'll tell you what, the guys at Piamps and Clay and Koenig and these other guys are going to play such a huge, important role of throwing the ball in special times during the game. It's going to be pretty neat to watch.
It's going to be great. It's this is the bullpen that we all hoped for and imagined, and it's better than you can even imagine to this point in the season. We're going to take our first break of the inning. Let's actually break down what went right and wrong for Freddie Peralta today. He actually gets to earn the win tonight, despite not pitching his best. We'll explain why coming up after the break. 855-616-1620. If you want to join us, 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings here on WTMJ. Brewers get the win 2-1. I'm Dominic Petronio. Jerry Augustine's with us as well. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank all season long. Fifth Third Bank, your local Milwaukee team. I'm dropping the reader here. It's right in front of me, and I can't find it loaded up here. I'm trying to read it here as I go off script, and I'm trying to make sure my internet's out now, and I'm all a mess right now here, Augie. I'll get back to the read here in a second. But let's talk about Freddie Peralta here in the meantime. Freddie, okay, bases loaded in the first inning with one out and gives up a sac fly. And quite frankly, to not allow another run beyond that, I thought was very important, like you talked about in the first inning. But he was far from out of the woods. He did not have a single clean inning tonight. He was throwing a ton of pitches like he usually does. It seemed like command was its usual erratic self. A ton of walks again tonight as well. He had four walks to just five strikeouts. What gives in your eyes? What are you seeing from Freddie, and specifically with the command of not being able to put guys away?
I think tonight, you know, if I categorize Freddie tonight, and we've talked about him a couple starts where he started using his secondary pitches so much, he's always going to be fastball Freddie. We always talk about that. He's got the good fastball tonight. We saw as high as 98, making good pitches with it. But tonight, he was a little bit more methodical. He started the game trying to use his breaking ball. When you're going up against a team like the D-backs, the way they're swinging the bat now, they've got the best batting average in the month of September in Major League Baseball. They're scoring more runs than anybody. You get a team that's going out and doing those things, it's probably a sign that they're being aggressive at the plate. And I think one thing Freddie tried to do early in the game, he tried to set up his secondary pitches against them, and he went deep in the counts. If there was a negative with Freddie tonight, I think, number one, going deep in the counts, and he had a lot of deep counts today, falling behind guys, really trying to locate his pitches too well. And at times he didn't locate them very well. But I think going deep in the count was huge for him tonight and going five innings. And I think what he was trying to do is be methodical and set up his secondary pitches and keeping this good offensive team of the D-backs off stride. And I thought that was a big difference in his style, the way he pitched tonight.
He was a guy that, to me, was getting by, skating by with his, like, C-minus stuff. I mean, it's going to be a night where you're facing a red-hot offense. You want to be perfect. You want to figure things out. It seemed like Freddie, to me, was avoiding the middle of the plate. And I understand the fear of an elite offense, and he was basically saying, I'd rather walk the world than give up a meatball down the middle. And to some teams and some pitchers, that can work. It's a fine line, like we saw tonight. I mean, the times he did leave it over the plate, the ball was getting crushed. I mean, I look at in the fifth inning, what could have been a game-changing play, and it still was, given how that inning ended, was Ketel Marte. He hits into a double play in the fifth inning after a leadoff single from Corbin Carroll. He hit that ball 113 miles an hour. He hit it right to a guy to Terang at second base. The Brewers' offense has been having bad luck like that. They finally get some good luck on that on their side. There was a lot of loud contact from Freddie Peralta from their opponents tonight, and I think that's where it all comes from. Freddie, he's had multiple walks in every start in the second half. And the strikeouts haven't quite been there, which I think is sort of by design. But at the same time, hey, man, you've got stuff. Take me to the mind of the pitcher, because how do you trust your stuff against a great offense that is hitting the ball hard, as we know? But it's like your changeup's good. Your fastball can climb. The curveball got a few whiffs today, too. And if it was that easy, everybody would do it. But why is that so difficult to trust your stuff in the zone?
Well, I think you hit it right on the head when you made the statement. avoiding the middle of the plate. You know, we talk about this Brewer pitching staff, and we look at guys like Colin Ray, and we look at Tobias Myers, and last night it was Montas. We're using what they were doing, pitching to the quadrants, pitching to the edges real well, locating those pitches on the outside part of the plate. And I think that's what Freddie might have been trying to do today. What you want to do is keep this good hitting team off stride, use your you'll throw your secondary pitches for strikes, and then be able to set the game up that way. A typical Freddie game is fastball edges, using the two-seamer, the four-seamer, a little bit of a cutter that he throws, and then using his secondary pitches. Tonight, a little bit different. I think he wanted to get this team there. You want to start the game and get in inside these D-backs' heads that I can throw my breaking ball. I can throw it for strikes. I'm going to stay ahead. That way, he was avoiding the middle of the plate. He could use his fastball, which he did at times and threw it very well. But what he did is he got deep in the counts, and what happened was he had to change himself. He's a little bit more methodical than you would usually see Freddie Peralta. A little out of his framework, the way his pitching style is. But I thought he did a good job of trying to start the game, trying to show this team, this D-back team, that he was going to use his secondary pitches and that he was going to keep them off stride.
So there were three plays that I circled that I wanted to talk about with you that were massive game-changing moments in Freddie's favor. Number one, in the third inning, after having Pavin Smith 0-2, he eventually walked him on a full-count pitch, but the ball squirted away from Contreras. Christian Walker tried to steal from second to third, and Contreras throws him out. That was the first massive play, in my opinion, to end the third inning, because it would have been maybe men on the corners or at worst men on first and second with two outs. Then in the fourth inning, the play you already mentioned, the great sliding stop by Rhys Hoskins against the bottom of the order, Jose Herrera. That was with a man on second, so it would have surely scored a run. And then the double play I mentioned a moment ago with Ketel Marte, 4-6-3 with two outs in the fifth. But he did allow a single to Peterson and then a walk to Walker. That gave him the chance in the fifth inning. It's sort of deja vu from his last start against the Rockies on Sunday. He's running on fumes. He's facing a third time through the order. There's a lefty ready to go in the bullpen for a lefty coming up. Last week, they went to the lefty Hobie Milner, gave up a three-run shot. This week, they stick with Freddie Peralta, and they get him to fly out. Now, Jared Koenig was the guy warming up tonight. And let me just lay things out here real quick, Augie. So you want to be a manager. Here's how it all works. You may think, okay, third time through the order is going to be tough. You're facing a guy that hits fastballs but struggles with secondary pitches in Pavin Smith. You got a lefty in the bullpen. Oh, go to the lefty, right? Well, no, if I'm Torey Lovullo, I'm going to counter with my lefty specialist off the bench, right-handed swinging Randall Grichuk, who's hitting over 300 against lefties, an OPS that's 850 against lefties. So you're like, okay, now I've lost the advantage that I thought I had. Do I stick with the guy on the mound who is on fumes, this will be his last batter no matter what, or do I go to Koenig and fall into the splits trap that Torey Lovullo is trying to set for me? I thought Pat Murphy made the right call, regardless of what happened, and Pavin gave it a ride, but I thought Murphy made the right call there, and Freddie rewarded him getting the flyout.
I agree with you. First of all, in the three plays that you called, the play where he was making the third out at third base, that was huge in the ball game. I thought the play by Hoskins was saved the game, saved a run probably. And that play, and then the double play hit directly at Terang was a big play. I think the difference in tonight, what happened was when they got in that situation, last time out, what did he do? He took, and you described it, he took Peralta out of the game. He brought in Hobie, and Hobie gave up a home run. I think there's times when you got your number one guy out there. You might have been pitching on fumes, but he's the style of guy that he's going to compete the best that he can compete for as long as he's out there. He's never going to give less than 100%. And I think this is one time where Murph backed off and said, you know what, you're my number one guy. I'm going to show some faith in you. Let's go get him. And I think when you do that, it's really an opportunity to show that you respect the pitcher, that you have confidence in him. And I think it plays huge in the rest of the season. Freddie knows that when he's in the game, it's his game, and he's going to go out and pitch as hard as he can for as long as he can. By not leaving him in there tonight and him getting through that inning, I thought played huge, not only tonight, but it will in the future.
when it comes to Freddie, I think the million-dollar question right now is what game of a hypothetical playoff series would he start? Let's say for the current exercise, because the Brewers are still in the wild card round as of now, what game would he start for you in a wild card series?
Number one, he's been my one guy all season long. I think you stay with where your success has been. I think Freddie's the kind of guy who can raise himself up when he has to. He understands now that he's pitched on several different ways. He's been fastball Freddie sometimes. He showed tonight that he can be a little bit more methodical, although he had went into too many deep counts and limited him to five innings. But he's been your number one guy all year long. I think you stick with him.
I agree with you, but the one thing I would do, let's say he's facing the Diamondbacks and it's the exact same scenario we saw tonight heading into the bottom of the fifth inning. I don't think he would return for the fifth inning that third time through. I think we'd see DL Hall right there. I think that's where the playoffs are a different animal. You don't need to face a third time through the order. You just win at all costs, and DL Hall is only going to get probably one chance in a series. That would be his spot for me. But I agree, because I want Freddie in game one. I got Freddie game one, Tobias game two, Frankie game three. That's what I've got right now. It could change, but that's what I'm going to roll with for the postseason if the Brewers are in a wild card series. A couple of texts here. This one from Mike in Colorado. Tough win, good win. Peralta's a mystery. This team might be due to peak at the right and at the correct time. Go Crew. Tommy, I see you on the line. I'll get to you right after this break. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Back after this on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Inning. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Petronio. Jerry Augustine is still with us. 2-855-616-1620 is the phone number. Again, 855-616-1620. Now I've got the cider read in, or a fifth third read in front of me with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. I've only been reading it for like 300 games over the last 3 years. Heaven forbid I memorize it for one night. But anyway, let's get to the phone lines. Tommy down in Chicago has been waiting patiently. Tommy, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Dom. How you guys doing?
We're great, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
What you got?
Yeah. Obviously, tough win. Hoskins with the big blow, and then the basically just bullpen, just absolute nails. Wanted to discuss the play where I think it was the fifth inning where Contreras was up and Mitchell got picked off, ended up with Ortiz getting in a rundown and making the out at third. Wanted to hear your thoughts on what happened on that, whether he just got caught too far off the bag or kind of, because that was a big play in the game where it looked like the Brewers, I believe it was a 2-0 count, that pitch was a ball. Pretty good chance Contreras would have walked and the bases would have been loaded with one out. That was a big play. Wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
100%. You're right there, Tommy. Good call. And that play, 100% on Garrett Mitchell from what I've seen. The Diamondbacks defense was rotated a little bit more for William to pull, so the first baseman, Walker, was well off the line, but still like behind Garrett Mitchell. And that's like an advanced scout play, right, Augie, where a scout or something notices, like, hey, when they think we're not playing behind them, they get big secondary leads, and you may only get one chance at a play like this, and they put the play on the first opportunity they had, and they executed. But, that's an overall – it's tough to hear the footsteps, but at the same time, you always got to be aware, especially in that situation. I'm sure Q Berry yelled back. I wasn't on the field. I can't hear it myself, but that's on Garrett Mitchell, in my opinion, and obviously it killed a rally in that fifth inning.
Well, one thing, when you play a team, two teams like this have two active catchers, guys who will throw the ball behind, I think they understand that guys get off too much, and I think you said it perfectly. Garrett Mitchell right there, he tried to get a little bit, got a little bit too far off the base a little bit, and the the catcher made a great throw, and it just changed the complexion of that inning because we probably would have had bases loaded. But those things happen. It happens when you get overly aggressive on the bases. And I thought Garrett just got a little bit too far off, and I thought they made a great play.
Well, there's a difference between overly aggressive, right, and being careless. And I thought this leaned more to the latter, to the careless side of that spectrum, where you just can't get that big of a secondary lead on a pitch that was taken for a ball. I mean, you've got the speed, you've got the wheels. Now, if it was like a check swing, or if he was like swinging at the ball, and you're like, all right, if this ball's in the gap, I got to score, I could maybe make a little bit of room for a secondary, or if a ball's in the dirt, but that's just a mistake that's tough to swallow. Luckily, it didn't hurt the Brewers entirely. Appreciate the call, Tommy. Good question there. That leads us into the offense as well here, Augie. I mean, there are some warts on this right now. I'm happy for Reese to finally have some hard contact rewarded for him, but they haven't scored more than 3 runs in any of the 3 wins in this road trip right now. They are the dead last batting average team in the month of September, and yet they're 5-6. So, like, they probably should be 2-9 over this stretch, given how bad their offense has been. I really feel like if this is your floor, right, only scoring 3 runs and still winning games, I can't imagine what the actual level is supposed to be and what even the ceiling could be for this offense if it gets hot again down the stretch.
Yeah, this is an area where they really have to concentrate on. And I think one thing Murph is trying to work with some Lima, trying to find the right group of guys that he wants in there. Like you see tonight where he had Tyria leading off. I think he's stalwart. He's going to be there forever as you go on through the season. He's done such a great job. His on-base percentage, what did he say, from the beginning of the year, middle of the year, has went from 270 up to 370, really doing a great job at getting on base and getting a good at-bats. I think trying to find that 2, 3, 4, and 5 slot that you feel comfortable. And I think that's one thing Murph is trying to find out, to find guys in those slots that he feels comfortable with, that can get on base and drive runs in. And I think that's an area, if you look at over the last several games, that area right there in those bad part of the batting order has really not come through for the Brewers. I think that's one thing that Murph is trying to work on and try to find a good group of guys that he can put there that can be more consistent.
I'm looking up a stat right now of Brewers outfielders here in September, or you know what, I'll even just say like since the start of August, that aren't named Jackson Churio, of how they've been doing, because it hasn't been pretty at times. Right now, Blake Perkins has fallen back into another cold stretch. And I look at things, you know, I talked about it saying, hey, man, Perkins might be my, you know, playoff center fielder. I know the defense is amazing and how valuable that is, but, you know, at the same time, he still needs some hits, too. It's tough to see him slow down right now. Mitchell went 0 for tonight with that base running blunder as well. And then he was pinch hit for later by Isaac Collins. I just need to see something from the guys not named Jackson Churio, because Churio, quite frankly, Augie, he might be the best hitter on this team right now. And that includes Willie. That includes Reese, because Churio's been consistent. He's hitting over 300 over a half season's worth of games now. Like, this is a real sample size that Churio has been your best hitter in the second half for the Crew.
That's interesting, how he's doing. I really like the batting order part, Domin, and you can talk to this also when they have Contreras hitting second. I like Churio leading off and Contreras batting second. A lot of teams will go with like one of their better hitters, a guy who's been very productive for them, and put him in that second slot. They've taken him out of that second slot over the last several games. I think what Murph is trying to do, find somebody in there like Mitchell, who's been swinging the bat real well, tried to give him that opportunity there tonight to see what he could do. But I like to see Contreras. It just seems when he's in that second slot, he's kind of settles this lineup down a little bit, and then you can go to the 3, 4, or 5 guys that you want to do it. Adames and Sanchez and the other guys, the younger kids that you want to go with. But it's interesting. I think Murph is trying to find that solution where they can be more productive and score more runs. It's just right now, I think things are a little out of whack. And I think you said it right. The outfielders, the young outfielders right now, are in a little bit of a rut. And I think Terang is even in a little bit of a rut. Swinging the bat pretty well, hitting, putting the ball in play. But I think those guys are in a little bit of rut, and we need those guys to start swinging the bat.
When it comes to the numbers, I went ahead to the start of September here. The outfielders, Blake Perkins, Sal Frelick, Garrett Mitchell, and this isn't meant to bully them. It's just meant to tell you, hey, here's an easy way to find some production. Those guys are hitting 135 here in September. Churio is not hitting 135 in September. Churio this month is hitting only 211, mind you, but the eight hits are all for extra bases, five doubles and three homers. He's even been caught twice in stolen base attempts, but he's got a 362 on base. He almost has as many walks as strikeouts, and if you include intentional walks, he has more walks than strikeouts. So need to see some on base, need to see some production from those outfielders, and all across. I mean, Reese has been slow, too. He broke an 0-for tonight with the home run. Joey Ortiz has slowed down. Terang had a hit tonight, but he has slowed down, too. You know that it's going to be a premium in the postseason. We've said that multiple times. But at the same time, you would like to see some momentum generated, not just for the postseason, but maybe, you know, just for the Philly series next week. Because, hey, if you're still in this hunt for the one or the two seed, yes, the one seed is in play here as well. Hey, you would like to be playing at your best against another high-powered offense like the Phillies.
Yeah, I agree. I think when you go, when you look at what's happening this weekend, you put right even tonight, the Brewers have picked up a game and to be in a spot where they could get a bye for the playoffs. So I agree with you. I just think it's finding that correct batting order. I know Murph is not afraid to change. He'll try different things and try different things that he feels are going to work. And they need these guys to give just better at bats, put the ball in play, and do these little things to help this team win. And it's going to get interesting. This is a great weekend. You got everybody playing each other. A lot of things can change each and every day. We're going to be talking about the opportunity of possibly getting a bye in that first round. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, but I tell you what, this ball club needs the offense to start being a little bit more productive. There's no question about it.
And yet they are 3-1 on this road trip, and they have a chance to win another series tomorrow and really, really generate some momentum. It doesn't get any easier. You get Brandon Pfaadt tomorrow. He's been good. But lately he's kind of scuffled, but he was good in the first half of the year. And then Zach Gallen on Sunday, and Zach Gallen shut down the Brewers in game two of that wild card series. So it's not exactly going to be two easy opponents to get the job done, but the Brewers are going to try to find a way to give their bullpen a breather tomorrow, and it'll be Tobias Myers on the mound. And I mean, he's not coming after a loss. He talked about his numbers as a stopper, but man, I'm excited because Tobias probably only has three more starts remaining after tomorrow, and he is definitely going to be in that postseason rotation.
Yeah, and the way he threw the ball, I tell you, when you saw the last time the way Tobias Myers threw the ball, I thought was one of his best outings of the year. He had fastball that was electric. He was being able to throw it to good spots. He's using his breaking ball, keeping the ball down in his zone when he wanted to. I really like his style of pitching because he uses all his pitches. He pitches all the quadrants. He pitches to the size of the plate, to the edges of the plate. But yet he has the idea of saying, you know what, I can pitch up when I have to, and I can pitch down when I have to. I can locate it. I can use all my pitches. And he's been very confident in throwing the ball for strikes. Doesn't put a lot of guys on base. Tomorrow's going to be a real interesting game for Tobias Myers.
I'm excited. He's going to see a lot of lefties, a lot of talented players on this Diamondback side. All right, we made it through the late night schedules of the season, at least to this point. You might see some more in the postseason. But the Brewers are done with the late night games. It'll be a 7 o'clock first pitch tomorrow. A lot easier for us. Augie, appreciate you as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's a fun weekend. A lot of things going on. A lot of baseball stuff going on. You played a game tonight. It felt a little bit like a playoff game during the season. And that's what I think we're going to see a lot of the rest of this series, the rest of the next few series. So it's a lot of fun to watch.
It's going to be some great experience. Jerry Augustine here on WTMJ. Thanks, Augie.
Great being with you.
All right. Back with more after this. Brewers win 2-1 on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers get the victory 2-1. We did scoreboard watching briefly. We didn't really explain what went down in those games as the Brewers gained some ground in their race with 2 weeks to go. Only one off day remaining. The Brewers improved their record to 85-62, 10 games clear in the Central, magic number of 5. Mathematically, they cannot clinch until they are home. They can win these next two games, and the Cubs can lose the next two games. Won't be officially clinched until Monday if the Brewers were to win or the Cubs were to lose. So I'm just telling y'all, get your tickets now for one of these games against the Phillies, not just because for the clinch, but because those are going to be big games, and you could see the moment the Brewers win the division. The Brewers have a stretch here. We've talked about it plenty. Then you get Pittsburgh after this Philly-Arizona stretch, and then Pittsburgh and New York, the Mets, that is, to finish up the regular season. And mind you, the Mets, they've been playing great. They're in a playoff position right now as they beat up on the Phils and Aaron Nola tonight, 11-3, but maybe at the cost of Francisco Lindor. He is out with back tightness. He is considered day-to-day. So if the playoffs started tomorrow, San Diego was victorious tonight behind Dylan Cease. They shut out the Giants 5-0. San Diego would host the Arizona Diamondbacks, but mind you, those two teams will meet in the final week of the season, not only to decide maybe who gets to host a wild card round, but also who will have the tiebreaker. They're currently tied 5-5 in the season series. So San Diego and Arizona still could flip, but first place and a game out of the postseason is separated by 3 games. San Diego's up by a game and a half. Arizona's up by a game on the Mets. And then the Mets are up by a game on Atlanta. So 3.5 games separates first place from out of the wild card. It's those 4 teams. The Cubs are not in it. Tell Cubs fans to get out of my mentions. You're not in the race. I don't believe it. I will stand by it. I will eat crow if something crazy happens. But nothing crazy is going to happen, okay? Shout out to Hunter Goodman hitting a grand slam in the bottom of the 8th inning tonight for the Rockies. So now the Cubs are 6 games down. But it's really 7 games down because they don't have a single tiebreaker. They're 7 games down with, what would that be? For them, they're at 77 or at 147 games. So that means they got 15 to go. They are 7 games down with 15 games to go with no more head-to-head matchups and no tiebreaker. Let's all take a deep breath there. And here in the division, they're 10 games down with no tiebreaker. It's really 11 games down. So again, if a Cubs fan is trying to get in your mentions, here comes the run, here comes the run. Stop it. Get some help. Sorry for the rant, but I'm just sick of it. And I'm sick of that one stupid Twitter account that's complaining about Jackson Chourio. I swear that dumb Twitter account literally has alerts set up anytime somebody tweets something about Jackson Chourio. Pete Crow Armstrong has figured it out here in the second half. Kudos to him, but to this Horner burner account, I hate that I'm even giving it attention. Just don't engage with it. Just don't. Mute it. Block it. I don't care. Hey, anytime I tweet something about Chourio, he chimes in my mentions. I just don't get it. Anyway, with all that being said, the Brewers, like we predicted last week, if you can win these series against Arizona, let's say you go 4-3 against Arizona over these 7 games, you know, you could slide them into that 3 spot. Or even out of it, maybe you go 5-2, you could suddenly slide them out of the playoffs. I mean, this is massive for them. I know Brewers fans are worried, oh man, the Phillies are good, and you know, you got the Diamondbacks, and they've been good. It's like, these games are, quite frankly, more important to the Diamondbacks than they are for the Brewers, because Brian Anderson said it best tonight on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Could you imagine playing these games with a 1-game lead right now in the division? Oh my goodness, you would be pulling your hair out, and I don't even have hair. So the Brewers have built up this stretch thanks to a great first half to have this comfort. You earn your comfort. Yes, you want to be the 2 or 1 seed. I understand that. It doesn't happen overnight. That race could come down to the very final day, and we'll make a proper estimation or prediction on it once the Brewers are through the Phillies next week. So, again, if the playoffs started tomorrow, Brewers would be hosting the Mets in a 3-game series. Padres would be hosting the Diamondbacks in a 3-game series. Dodgers would be the 2 seed, Phillies would be the 1 seed, and the Dodgers would be the team that would feed the wild card series of Brewers and Mets to LA for that 2 seed matchup. Rant over. That's your out-of-town scoreboard. Quick little peek there as well. We're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. That's coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 2-1. Good vibes here on the postgame show tonight. I'm Dominic Catronio. It's our last late night one of the season. Thanks to everybody who stayed up late with us. Appreciate the text here from the 847 as well. Fun few nights here. I call it Pac-12 After Dark, if you will, because I'm a Pac-12 guy, Arizona State. So now they're a Big 12 team, so Big 12 After Dark. Anyway, Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And a reminder, they offer 5% off all service for veterans and seniors all year long. Make sure you mention this offer when you're scheduling your appointment. Visit Sider.com today, Sider.com. Families helping families since 1912. Pat Murphy in a good mood today after a thrilling win tonight. Brewers get the victory. Here's what the skipper had to say.
I don't think it was totally ugly. I mean, I think, we made two base running mistakes that, both those guys don't have a full year in the major leagues. So, and we're an aggressive team, so that's going to happen. But Diamondbacks also played good defense and threw good pitching at us. The kid that started threw the ball great. And, struck out, I think, 10 or, pretty close, like 8 or 9. I thought he was great. So I don't think it was ugly. I think they're a really good team. I think our pitching was, Freddie wasn't his best self, but he bobbed and weaved and gave us 5 and got some big outs at the end. And we played really good defense ourselves and for the most part. And and then the bullpen was really, really good.
Is that sort of the bullpen? Have they sort of asserted themselves as strength this team right now?
I don't like to separate. I think the bullpen gets affected by the defense, gets affected by the score of the game, and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's all hand in hand. But I think right now we're facing good teams and good pitching, and we're not swinging the bat. Some of the guys aren't swinging the bat as good as they can, but I think that our defense and pitching is doing it all year long. They've been pretty darn consistent. And Freddie, although didn't have his best stuff and didn't pitch as well as he has, he hung in there and made some big pitches at big times against a really, really, really good lineup. That's a good lineup.
For the bullpen, they allowed just one base runner tonight, and especially Trevor and Devin, that's 3 and 4 days now. Just how they continue to get the job done.
Yeah. There's one of these days we're going to have to score runs because they can't pitch every day, although I'm going to ask them to.
Did you kind of feel like the offense was churning in that fourth inning when they eventually did get to Rodriguez? You had a bunch of hard hitouts, and then Hoskins finally broke
through. Yeah, again, he's had 24. How many of them have been crucial? I mean, it's amazing how many times his homer in the game is a difference maker. So, I think we had some good at bats. We had a bunch of hard contact. Churio's ball was hit good, and they didn't. Sanchez hit a couple balls hard, and Adamas hit a ball in the gap that got caught. Perkins hit a screamer in the gap that got caught. And, Terang hit a bullet, and then Ortiz hit a double later on. But, we didn't have a lot of hard contacts. But, look at Freelich's ball at the end. It's another could have broke the game open. But.
Another game against a lefty starter. Where do you feel like your club's at in that regard right now?
Against lefty starters?
Yeah.
Well, we haven't exactly ran them out of the gym. It's like it's one run games, but we're still a work in progress. Our whole team's a work in progress,
So. I know Freddie did his thing today. He eclipsed that 30 at the start mark. Just how great has he been able to have that consistency throughout the season?
Yeah.
Knowing he can go up there and do a solid job.
Really good reporter asked me that early today, and I answered it with, it's dependability. With all we've lost, our starting rotation from last year, we lost them all, and to have these young guys throwing for us and guys that have never been in the big leagues, and then Freddie's the one staple that you just know, and Colin Ray has been too, and he pitched a lot for us last year, but he wasn't, in the rotation all year, but Freddie to step up the way he has and just continue to be that rock solid guy that regardless, I'm not going to make you go to your pen too early. I'm going to give you 5 and 6 every time out and bob and weave. It like he kept competing. And that's a great trait of his.
Competing is all that matters. And like we said earlier, with your C-plus stuff, you give what you can. You gave you five. Was it pretty? Absolutely not. Will it be hang, in the Milwaukee Art Museum? Absolutely not. But gosh darn it, those are the games like, maybe generate some momentum, because his next start will be against these Diamondbacks again, probably next Thursday or Friday coming up. So read up on the scouting report and regroup for next week. Highlights. How about that? That's coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers, we're going to have their hands full against the lethal offense in the Arizona Diamondbacks. Freddy Peralta and Eduardo Rodriguez was the matchup at Chase Field in Phoenix. This one started off on the wrong foot. The Brewers had a leadoff double from Churio, left him stranded. The Diamondbacks, they scored a run with the bases loaded in the bottom of the first, but that was all they scored. Then this game got tight. 1-0 Diamondbacks in the third, man on second and two outs. And what seemed inauspicious enough with a walk turned out to be a very big play.
Freddie has his sign. 3-2 coming. Down an in-ball four. He lost him. Glances off the glove of Contreras. Runner takes off for third. William retrieves. And he throws out Walker trying to go to third base. Didn't get that far away off of Contreras' mitt. Maybe only five steps. Probably shouldn't have gone. And Contreras makes a great throw to Ortiz. Out advancing.
Josh Maurer's call. That ended the third inning. Then in the fourth, the Brewers took a little bit of momentum with some hard contact finally against Eduardo Rodriguez. Yet another backbreaker. Two outs, two strikes.
2-2 pitch. Drilled into left field. This is a home run if it's fair. Towards the pole she goes. Fair ball. Goodbye. Two-run home run, Rhys Hoskins. He drilled that baby to left. A big swing for the big first baseman. Brewers in front, 2-1 in the fourth inning.
Number 24 on the year for Rhys, and little did we know, that would be all the offense for the crew. And everybody knows the rules. You make a swing at the top of the inning, you make a great play in the bottom of the inning.
This will be his 82nd. Here it comes. Line drive towards first. What a play by Hoskins off to the side. Flips it to Peralta for the out at first. Rhys Hoskins, what an inning.
And Freddie would end up grinding through five innings, only allowing that one run in the first inning. Then they handed over to the bullpen, and man, were they stellar. Yoel Piamps, 1-2-3 sixth inning with two strikeouts. In the seventh, it was Jared Koenig, 1-2-3 inning with one strikeout. In the eighth, a one-out walk to Christian Walker with Trevor McGill on the mound. Then something rare for Trevor McGill happened.
1-1. Chopper back up the middle. Played by Adames. Steps on the bag at second. Throws to first in time. And it's a 6-3 double play. And the Brewers out of the inning. Second double play induced by the Brewers tonight. And it's a big one as Trevor McGill puts up a zero in the eighth.
Lane Grindle's call. And then you hand it to the airbender in the ninth. And he has been fantastic.
2-2 pitch. Fly ball, deep center field. Perkins racing back onto the edge of the warning track with the play. He makes the catch, and the Brewers take game one in the desert by a final score of 2-1 over the Diamondbacks.
Over Devin Williams' last nine games, he's got nine innings, 16 strikeouts, and no runs. Brewers get the win. Devin gets the save. 2-1 the final. Magic number is 5. We'll prepare you for tomorrow's game after this. Game 2 of the series, Diamondbacks and Brewers on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last few moments of the program here. Tomorrow, much more normal Central Time first pitch. It'll be at 7:10 for first pitch. I've got coverage starting actually at 6 o'clock here on WTMJ. We've got Brewers warm-up for you. Then on Sunday, it is a 3:10 first pitch, and I'll be on the air at 2. So we're kind of back to our normal weekend programming here without the super late nights. So the Brewers are 3-1 so far on this road trip. Despite having the blowout on Tuesday, they win a one-run tight contest today. They shut out the Giants yesterday, and they gained some ground finally here. And, man, Magic numbers down to 5. The team that traded Corbin Burns, hasn't had Brandon Woodruff, has had their entire starting rotation pretty much decimated in some way, shape, or form, lost its manager, just the list goes on, is on the cusp of having the biggest, being the first team to clinch their division in baseball. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Can't wait for that moment. We'll have plenty of celebration coverage here on WTMJ. My thanks to Max Meyers and our producer staying up late. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.